Now, I've told you all before, and I will tell you this again. I'll probably tell you again, but I forgot I told you before. My grandfather, I idolized him. I lived next door to him. He died way before my time. He died when I was 12. But he would say, he taught me to tell stories. He would say, an old story goes, or the old sayings were. You know, the thing about stitching time saves nine, and those type of things. Well, that's really what Proverbs is. It's telling us the things that would help us in life. Nancy, I didn't ask you to introduce your guest, and I'm sorry. I know you've been here before, but it's been more than a week.
This is my friend Bill from Akron, Ohio. He's down visiting me.
The tire capital of the world at one time.
No, it's the polymer capital.
Polymer, like in plastic?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they moved all the...
Yeah, all the rubber shops I went to.
Tokyo or... Well, is the weather bad in Akron? Well, you're glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. But it gives... It was swimming. Probably not today. Chuck went swimming this morning up on that ladder. By the way, I've got to say this. I know I do not intend to offend anybody. Chuck calls Connie, soaking wet. He says, bring me a shirt. She said, are you wet? It's pouring down over here. Are you wet? Why else would Chuck want a new shirt? Ever been working over here? I mean, it's not a fashion statement. He was soaking wet. And she said, do you, Chuck?
That's what I said. I said, welcome to my world.
I was about to put a bell shirt on him just so he could dry off a little bit, or a robe and let him flow around like Darth Vader or something. The wicked man flees, though no one pursues. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Cowards. You know, have you all heard just, was it like 2 days ago, that a young girl, I think in Lee County, got off a school bus? And as soon as the bus left, a bunch of other girls, and I think, it sounded to me like junior high kids, not little ones, jumped her and just had her on the ground, beating and kicking on her. Just ugly. So, do we have bullies back when we were growing up?
Yeah.
I remember bullies. I remember, I was short and fat. I was short and fat. I've always been, except for 3 months in the sixth grade when I had my one growth spurt, I was always been short. I got picked on all the time. All the time. So bullies are nothing new. You go back in the Old Testament times, the prophet was walking along one day. A bunch of boys jumped out of the bushes, hollered, you bald head, you bald head. Now, in those days, the lack of hair was an insult. They have long hair, long beards. Remember, David's men had their beards cut half off, and he hit them till they grew back out. They were embarrassed. Well, then the mama bear jumped out and ate those boys, so I guess God didn't like a bully against a prophet. But boys are right. But here's what he says. A wicked man runs away. Even though nobody's after him, he's scared. He knows he's guilty. But yet, the righteous are bold as a lion. We need to know that we're backed up. Now, sometimes discretion outweighs bravery. In some situations, we do not need to be in. But there are times we need to be strong and not give up and not back down. That's what Solomon is saying. When a country is rebellious, it has many rulers. A current events, da-da-da-da. Anybody want to think of a country right now that has more than one ruler? Anybody want to say Venezuela? We're living that right now.
Yes, we are.
They have fallen apart. They were one of the richest, if not the richest per capita country in the world back 10 or 12 years ago. They've got more oil than we could use. But evil came in. Socialism came in. Communism came in. A bad, bad leader came in. And, you know, they've taken all the animals out of the zoos. They've eaten all the zoo animals. That's pretty bad. America has sent a lot of...
Here's your ghost apple.
Well, the Venezuelans would probably like to eat that right now. I've never in my life seen one of those. That is amazing. Is it moving? It feels like it's moving. Is it dripping? It looked like it was dripping.
Are you drinking?
I had one touch of water. I haven't even had my lemonade yet. But Thanks for reminding me. But they are a mess. You can't have head rulers. Gave a speech last night to a group, because yesterday was Lincoln Day. I gave a speech to them about it. During the time of his pre-inauguration, his first inauguration, Lincoln had a lot of people who were out to get him, not John Wilkes Booth. I'm talking about of his own group. Matter of fact, half of his cabinet wanted to either have him arrested, put away as a mental patient, or kill him so they could take over being the president, including his own Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary of War liked him, but they didn't. They were all against him. So it was a lot of conflict in the war. The worst part of American history, maybe the worst part of American history, was even before the secession, the Civil War, when James Buchanan did not win the election for re-election, and Abraham Lincoln beat him. But from the time of the election in November until Lincoln's inauguration, I think it was the first week of April. I'm not going to say the 6th or 7th. Buchanan was running the country doing exactly opposite of what the country needed and what Lincoln wanted. Two rulers, one wanting to tell people the good they do, the other one exactly opposite. It cannot be that way. Which one of the wives in a campaign, and I'm thinking, for some reason I'm thinking it was Hillary, but I'm not real sure, said, "You've elected, you now have two presidents. I'll be the co-president." Was it Hillary? Somebody wanted to be the co-president with her husband.
I think it was Rosalynn Carter. Rosalynn?
Poor Jimmy wouldn't know the difference anyway. It may have been Rosalynn. Those things don't happen.
Lady Bird
did run the country. I remember those days. A ruler, but a man of understanding and knowledge maintains order. There must be order. Now, do not take this wrong, because I mean this as an example, not as what we should do. During the time of Saddam Hussein, there was peace in Iraq. Now, the problem is, he killed his own people, he murdered, raped the women, on and on and on. But there was no outbreaks during his period of time, because he was a strong-fisted individual ruler. And during the period right after the first Gulf War, when George Bush number one was there, for about a year, when he had like a 95% favorability, there was a lot of calmness in our country. So a good leader can bring what's good for their people. The ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain that leaves no crops. If you raised a garden, or if you've been on a farm, and just when the particularly corn, is very susceptible because the root system hadn't developed yet, you get a hard driving rain, and you just see everything. You've been there, haven't you? And you just see it all just either lay over or wash down. Well, if your leadership's run over you like a hard driving rain, there's no crops left. And the idea is not to take over, but to assist and to build. A ruler who oppresses the poor. A ruler who oppresses the poor. First of all, they're not godly. Second of all, they're not by the Constitution. The Constitution states that all men are created equal. And that would be the poor and the rich. The 11th of April, 63, Lincoln instituted the draft. First draft ever in America. Now, we paid people to become soldiers as far back as the French and Indian War, Revolutionary War, but it was a draft. There was a great rebellion against the draft by the poor in the country, because they're saying, we the poor are fighting a rich man's war. And for $300, now at that time, $300 was a tidy sum, but for $300, you could buy your way out of your draft, if you were wealthy enough, or your children, or you could hire somebody, in all seriousness, you could hire somebody to take your place. A rich man's war. So that right there, you said the ruler oppresses the poor, and the poor don't always have a chance. And in throughout our history, Gerald, I don't know if Mark's told you, but I have a lot of feelings about what's happened to Native Americans here. This thing with, and I hate Andrew Jackson, quite honestly. This thing with you all know about the Trail of Tears, where he collected Native Americans, different tribes, starting in Florida. The Seminoles we have left down here are the ones, the descendants, those who hid from Jackson and took them all the way out west to a very terrible land, and many died on the way. That's the oppression of the poor. Jesus is against the oppression of the poor. And Solomon was that many 950 years ahead of that. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law resist them. Antifa. You ever heard of Antifa? The hard fascist. Remember they had the rally, and it was in Charlotte that the guy drove over a woman and killed her about a year ago. That's Antifa, what they're doing. We have three women in the Congress of the United States who are speaking out against the Israelites. Now we know what's going to happen there. Speaking directly, calling the Jews out. One of them even said those hook-nosed Jews who try to run our country. When we start conflicts like that, it's not going to be good. Evil men do not understand justice. But those who seek the Lord fully understand it. Where does justice come from? There's a term in the, I want to say declaration, I may be wrong, it may be in the Constitution, the term unalienable rights. Our rights quoted in the Constitution, and even in the Bill of Rights, were not given by the government. Unalienable means they were God-given. Cannot be taken away. We may surrender them, but legally, morally, they cannot be taken away. So those who forsake the law praise the wicked. Those who do not go by the rights, those who are the abusers of these type of things, are not righteous people. But for those who keep the law, we should resist evil, because nothing good comes out of it in the long run. And that's what we have to be very, very careful. Evil men do not understand justice. Maybe they don't even care. Maybe they don't know what justice truly is. Verse 6, here you go. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a rich man whose ways are perverse. Most of the people I know are just common people. From back home in the mountains of East Kentucky to Lexington, even down here, are just common people. But I have met some absolutely ruthless, arrogant, wealthy people in my life. And Janice from the same hometown I'm from, so she knows what I'm talking about. Garvis Kincaid and the likes. Even though you named your son Kincaid in the middle name, not the same reason. But there are some people who just are out to trick you, out to beat you. That's not good. It's not good. And we should not be that way. Those who keep the law, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttonous disgraces his father. A companion of gluttons disgraces the father. We need to do what is right. And it's not always that easy, but sometimes we make it harder than things really should be. We complicate the matter. Do any of y'all not have a cell phone? He might not have a cell phone. You don't. Did he let you borrow his?
He does, I don't.
All right, well, you don't need it then. He'll talk for you.
No.
Can anybody tell me how a cell phone works? Magic is the word I want to use. Got little dots, and got little dashes, and got little numbers, and you flip it open, and it works. Yeah, Joe, flip it open. But what?
There's a guy in there.
There you go. There's a guy in there. He's pushing a little cord. Let me call this. You see, we don't have to understand everything for to make it to work. Sometimes we need to accept what is right and do something good with it. Our lives are a lot simpler that way. I cannot work on my own car. I sat for 5 hours Saturday morning having a starter put in. Matter of fact, last Wednesday it was running. I didn't turn the car off all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, all day Friday, because I was afraid if I turned it off, I'd be stuck somewhere. Great on gas mileage. The guy says, "Why can't you fix this, Dwight?" I said, "I have built car dealerships. I can build your garage." Matter of fact, I did part of the work on his garage. Walter, you know Walter. I don't know where the spark plugs are. Nor do I want to. Because that's not what I do. So sometimes we have to say, we just accept this and go on. We keep the law. He who increases his wealth by exorbitant interest amasses it for another. Who will be kind to the poor? In the Jewish nation, still today supposedly, a Jew could not charge interest on another Jew. Remember when Jesus said, if someone asked you for his cloak, give him your coat also? He wasn't talking about somebody being cold. He was talking about a security bond. If somebody says, all right, I'll loan you this money, but I need... It's a pawn shop. That's what he's talking. Who run most of the Jews? So that really figures out. It was a pawn shop. I'll hold your coat today. You go buy your calf, sell it, bring me the money back. I'll give you the coat back tonight. Jesus said, you give him the coat back because he needs it. But they could not charge each other interest. Now, to a Gentile, they could charge interest. But only to a certain, quote, righteous point. It is listed. About 64 or so, under aforementioned Jimmy Carter. Do you remember what the mortgage rate was? Anybody want to say 18.5%?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's exorbitant. That's out of reach. I also got rid of the housing market for 4 years because nobody could afford a house at that interest. And so anybody in any of y'all relationship to the petroleum industry? Tell me how a dictator can have the hiccups in Saudi Arabia and gas goes up 29 cents overnight. But it'll come down a penny a week after that. A little bit of gouging, maybe. Solomon says you can't do that. You just don't do that. But the better one is, who will be kind to the poor? Well, that should be all of us. That's the Christian responsibility. Jesus talked about the poor all the way through the Bible. He also used them as great examples, such as the widow had 3 mites, would be like a tenth of a penny, but she tithed on that, where the rich person would just give something to make a lot of noise. So the kindness to those who are in need. I think that, to me personally, that same was with a child, with our seniors. You know, we have to have a law now called elder abuse. Now, most of us are over 50 in this room. And if you make it to the ripe old age of 60, you are considered an elder. The saddest or the happiest day of your life, I'm not sure which one it is when you get the application for an AARP card. You got an AARP card recently?
I've had it for years.
Oh, I was trying to be kind and you're... But you know, we should be kind to the elderly. It's all about our relationship. Because Jesus said, once you treat one of these, you treat the smith the same way. And Solomon said it that many hundred years ago. Anyone who turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. God will not listen to someone who will not do it. Are you looking? Are you showing me something?
No.
We're at verse 11.
Okay.
9. Now 10. He who leads the upright along an evil path will fall into his own trap. When you deceive somebody, you will often get your just results. And that deceit can turn on you as well. Ladies, this will not apply to you all, I'm sorry to say. Oh no, I'm actually proud to say. Guys like to get revenge. Any of you guys like to get revenge? I'll pay you back for that one. I'll remember that one. You'll get yours. God says, I'll get the revenge for you. We don't have to grieve and worry about doing that. You know, most of you, except when a guy steals your boyfriend when you're 14. After that, you may want revenge. I mean, a girl steals your boyfriend, not a guy steals your boyfriend. Didn't mean to go that way. A girl steals your boyfriend, you get mad. A rich man will be wise in his own eyes. But a poor man who his discernment sees through him. It was disturbing to me. It was probably was in the summer of 17, maybe early 18. And one of the political candidates, and I honestly cannot remember who, was being quizzed by a newspaper TV reporter. The question was asked something about forgiveness. And the candidate said, I don't need forgiveness. Why? Well, I haven't done anything wrong. Well, this that statement by itself, because you've told a lie, would be something wrong. But that was a statement the candidate made. I've never done anything wrong. Why do I need forgiveness? A rich man will be wise in his own eyes. You know, some people think they've never done anything wrong. Now, if you're a grandparent, you know your grandchildren have never done anything wrong. You don't know what happened to your kids, but the next generation down, they're worth something. But that's some. Why don't I hit my stool? So, if a person cannot be convinced they are wrong, or can be wrong, how can they be saved? I've got it. I've got it under control. They may hear. Well, it's just not. The poor man, his discernment sees through him. I want to show of hands on this one. Have any of you all ever gone out and bought a car, or a certain restaurant, or anything like that? Because somebody, a very, very rich person, got on television and says, I smoke Chesterfield King, so should you. This is not your daddy's Buick. What was it? Tiger Woods. Not your daddy's Buick or something like that. Have any of you all actually been convinced to go spend money because somebody rich and famous has it? See, that's the sermon. If you like the car, you buy the car. It doesn't matter who else has one. You guys that fish, do you go out and buy? Now, the only rod reel I know is a Zebco 202. I'm sure most of you all are past the Zebco. That's the Walmart for $6.95 rod reel. You got to buy, is it a Garcia or something like that with a rod and reel? It's very expensive. Do we have any golfers in here? Do you have anybody that tries to play golf, rather? Did you buy Ping, whatever those are, because somebody uses Pings? Wouldn't help. Well, the wise man has that kind of discernment. See, who do you model yourself after? Now, I know, ladies, none of y'all ever went out and bought, was it Elizabeth Taylor? White Diamonds? Was it White Diamonds perfume? or the girl that says, my men wear English leather or nothing at all? I mean, do you really think it works? When the righteous triumph, there's great adulation. But when the wicked rise to power, men go in hiding. We don't like El Chapo. Thank God. El Chapo was convicted on all 10 counts yesterday. And he said he was mistaken. They were mistaken. It wasn't him. Yeah. There's going to be people digging up the whole country of Mexico trying to find that like $300 billion he's gotten hidden. Thinking about it myself. He who conceals a sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. A lot of things done behind the scenes, embezzlement and that kind of things, it doesn't work. Solomon says, blessed a man who always fears the Lord. Fear there means respect as well as fear and trembling. So blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Blessed is the man who understands the power of God. Because if we don't understand the power of God, we consider ourselves equal to God. And we know that's not going to work. but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Did you ever invite somebody to church or just talk to them about guys that I don't believe there's a God? I don't need God. There can't be a God. He let me down one time. Or whatever the excuses are. And you've got to realize that this person really has chosen not to take the best and only opportunity they have of salvation. I guess even among the kings they have. And Connie.
Yeah, Chuck has a friend.
Look at me and talk louder.
Chuck has a friend, Gene, he calls with. And he knows how we feel about God and so forth. We try to talk to him, and he just says, I don't need to know that. And I said, Gene, that's sad. And we try to talk to him. How do you get someone like that to open their heart to God? I mean, we try.
You don't. What you do is give an example and be consistent. But you can't get a funnel and pour God down their throat. All you do is alienate them, and they don't choose. I mean, a person with any intelligence has the opportunity to make a decision. You just give them options of what that decision would be. If they choose not to make that decision, Jesus says, told the apostles, wipe dust off your hands, shake the dust off your sandals, and walk away.
It seems like they're watching you too. Waiting for you to slip up, you know.
Absolutely. Janet says in her soft voice, it seems like they're watching you too, waiting for you to mess up. You are a walking, talking sermon. And people will view more of you and think more of your action than what you've actually said. And that's extremely important for us to know.
Why does it cause us to be so sad when we run across situations like that mentioned?
Well, haven't you actually answered your own question?
No, that I'm not so sad that they're not seeing their way to go to Christ. I'm sad because of their situation that they do not know and they don't want to learn. And I feel sorry for them in that way rather than I've been trying to work on it for myself, but I don't know how to do it.
Let me give you the punchline for a joke. Your daughter's even told the joke. I sent you a boat, a helicopter, and a 4x4. What else do you want? Some people just aren't convinced. Don't want to be, but they don't want to be convinced because being convinced would mean that they've been wrong in the past. When we got first married, do you remember that far back, Becky, 49 years ago? We were at a restaurant the other day talking, Janet and Becky, her sisters, and their mother's down here. And I simply said to Janet, did your mother burn everything they cooked? She cooked. And the answer was, I've turned this thing off once. I'll turn it off again.
Stop reprogramming.
He did. I took it out of my hands. I like everything semi-raw. The eggs barely gelled, or the pancakes barely not anything runny. My mother was in such a big hurry, she couldn't wait because she was feeding 4 kids, 2 adults. So I eat things way undercooked. You know, I eat a raw potato before I eat one that's brown. We learn by what we see and what we experience. Now, Becky still eats her stuff the way she likes it, but she takes mine out of the pan about 5 minutes before she takes her out of the pan. Works perfectly. She did not try to convince me. I tried to convince her to no avail. So I'm wise enough to realize I wasn't going to make it. So sometimes you have to do that. You give them the opportunity. Let me give you the cliche of all. You can lead a horse to water. Yeah. Well, sad as it is, Owen, that is the way it is. And you just hope somebody lives long enough to correct their mistakes. Yeah. That's it.
But the thing of it that's happening to me now, I'm seeing this with more and more people. Instead of the other way around, that they're coming to God, they're going away from it.
The percentage of those who go to church and the percentage of those who claim to be believers, or I'd say they are believers in God, is going down. Now, why is that? Maybe this is the question of they. Why is that so?
Because society tells them they don't need God.
Okay. Connie proffers that the society's telling them that they don't need God. That happens a lot.
Happens. God out of everything. Well, why would they need it?
Charles.
All of our kids that go to school are taught there is no God.
Right.
Secular humanism in the public school system is quite rampant.
Yeah.
Let me give you something even simpler. While I was waiting on Walter to fix my starter, there was a television show on. Thank you very much. That was a poor example, but it's best I can do with dry lips. We saw Andy Griffin. We saw Dr. Welby, M.D. We saw Dick Van Dyke. And we saw TV shows where the father was not the stupid idiot, but he was somebody that was respected, and he treated the wife right. And what examples do we have now?
Blue Bloods.
What's what?
Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods? Suck with the mustache. Had prayer every dinner, the family met together, they stayed together, and even with the conflicts, they were strong. There's more of the other than there is of that, though, Si. Disjointed, and people doing their own thing. We put ourselves before God. Therefore, there is no God. Charles.
We're probably getting closer to the end times now.
You read my mind?
Yeah.
These things are all predicted in the Bible for the last days. Brother against father. Don't go where? You talking about me or Chuck?
He said, you're reading my mind. Chuck goes, no.
That's from a lady that cooks her pancakes and smashes them down, turns them over and smashes them down. Yeah, but those things are going to happen. There'll be no families. There'll be no respect. Everybody's for their own. I like New York City, I think, where you see those kind of things. Give us the country people. You know, they laughed at Ma and Pa Kettle, and they laughed at the Beverly Hillbillies, and we laughed at a lot of the Bates family with the 47 kids. And oh, by the way, that. Or the third generation of them kids is back on TV. Counting on. But you know what? If you think about it, you might not be a bad thing to think about doing. A little calmness and gentility in our lives. Instead of all the destruction. A tyrannical ruler lacks judgment. Because he does what he wants to do. We spoke of Saddam Hussein just a moment. You can talk about Adolf Hitler, on and on. He thought it nothing to kill 6 million Jews and Polish and retarded and minorities. He thought nothing about that whatsoever because he was a tyrant.
Joseph Stalin did the same thing.
Who?
Joseph Stalin.
Stalin maybe even more than Hitler, truth be known. Stalin and a good line of those Soviet leaders did that. But we've got people that have done that. McClellan had, by bad judgment, had caused 49 of his officers to be killed in one battle. There was a mistake battle, including Abraham Lincoln's best friend, who had been with Lincoln the day before. But he thought it was more important for him to have his way. And how many people have followed? Who mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago? Jim Jones, Jonestown, Jim Jones? How many died there? If you wish to call it self-induced suicide, I'll let you pick your own term. But just because he had to be right. And all these type of things. But he who hates ill-gotten gain will enjoy a long life. Who's got King James? What is the word there? Carolyn, I don't care. Where it says, enjoy a long life. What words does he use there?
What verse are you in?
I'm in, what verse are you following me?
I've been trying to find it.
Ask me, 16.
16.
Last line of 16.
But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days.
Covetous, wanting something that's not yours. That's what he's talking about. Now, I think there, it also, and I wish he had used a different word. I wish he'd used a good life or something like that. But a productive, a happy, a satisfied life. When you go to bed at night, are you satisfied with what went on that day? or you wish you had something different. Oh gosh, somebody won $4 billion in the lottery and it wasn't me. I feel terrible. That kind of stuff. Do we get envious of things that aren't ours, and probably we'd be better off that is not ours? I mean, at 16, most of us guys would have liked to, but what do they call them back then? When they cut down the old 32 Chevys and stuff like that? Hot rod. Or a 57 Chevy stacked up. Or a T-Bird that was ready to roll. Or a Mustang with a Shelby engine. Things we probably had no business riding because we were too young and too dangerous for us to do. But one thing we don't need. He whose walk is blameless is kept safe. Now, let me correct a thought before anybody says Dwight. Billy Joel said it. I don't think he's right, but he says only the good die young. I've known good people who died young. And it does seem unfair that God will let some people live to be old, and be cruel and ruthless people. What was Castro? 85, 90 years old when he died? If he died? They may have just pickled him, I don't know. But sometimes living a good life far outweighs the long life. Just a happy life, a safe, a contentment. That used to be a famous word back in the 60s. You remember the word contentment used in an advertisement? Bored milk comes from contented cows. Now, a happy cow gives better milk. How much better off would we be if we were happy and get along? And that's from a guy with 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. I don't know. He who works his land will have abundant food. The one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. I think it was the Hope Diamond. Now, maybe it was some famous diamond that a guy had decided his life wasn't fulfilled, so he sold his property and took the money and go to be a diamond explorer. Was it the Hope Diamond they found in a creek or something like that at his property? It was some big, famous, wildly big, huge diamond. Because he wasn't looking at what he had, he wanted more and he lost it all. Have we wanted too much? And we regret what we didn't get to keep? Or never take? Si, were you voting or just chilling because the air conditioner came on? I thought you were okay. Cause I saw the hand moving. I don't want to miss any hand movements.
It's too complicated to explain.
You got 6 minutes?
My arm goes to sleep.
Oh, well, that didn't take that long.
Trying to understand why.
There you go. It's just our bodies. You'll work and have food. Did you not hear when you were a child? The little red hen found some corn or wheat seeds. You remember that one? Who'll come and help me? Oh, we're all too busy. We're all too busy to take care of it. We're all too busy to hazard it, to harvest it. We're all too busy to do everything. But when the bread got baked, they were all around, ready to share it. But she said, "No, I worked the land. My chicks and I took care of things. You're left out." And sometimes people just choose not to be helped. I'm looking at ages. Since I'm almost the oldest one in here, you all have probably all heard stories about the Depression. My grandmother raised six. They grew about 500 heads of cabbage. And they would harvest it and cover it with tarpaulins, and they would cover it with hay, and they would cover it with dirt, and they ate a head of cabbage every day. Dad would never like cabbage after that. Boiled it, pickled it, sauerkrauted it, slawed it, rawed it, just cabbage. And then she would go out. And even when I was, after I was born, she would go out and send me with a, you know what a paring knife is, one of those little sharp ones? Go out the yard and get me some greens.
Yeah.
Well, I remember, I don't know what green is. Well, she was talking about the leaves of weeds. Dandelions. Poke salad.
Doc,
all those kind of things, because living through the Depression, those were good. So she made something out of it. Well, my gosh. Today, if McDonald's, now this has happened more than once, if McDonald's runs out of chicken nuggets, you go inside and beat up the waitress. And that's happened. That has happened in this town. Well, that town.
Yeah.
People get all excited. What happened this week? Somebody didn't have something. Was it?
And she took a ball bat to the door.
Took a ball bat.
Please.
Took a ball over a Hamburglar.
Oh my goodness.
Are we just a little bit sport or crazy? You know, just give them all spam. Everybody will be happy. A faithful man will be richly blessed. I love that because it's talking about the future. It's talking about a man who's faithful in his life, faithful to God. Therefore, God will bless him. Maybe not on this side of the Jordan River, if you like to use that term. Are you turning me off, Chuck, or something?
Not yet.
Okay.
You got to get up here
before I forget. Oh, okay. But one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. To show the partiality is not good. Partiality. Now, if I asked you how many of you all were favorites of your parents or your grandparents, or you were the favorite child for an aunt or an uncle, some of you, Peggy, you were your father's favorite, right? See, I remember that. I was my grandmother's favorite. My parents didn't know my first name. It was that bad. But my grandmother said I was as handy as a pocket on a shirt. Did she not say that, Rebecca? Over and over. And I will not buy a shirt that doesn't have a pocket on it in memory of her. We're not supposed to show partiality. God doesn't show a partiality. He rewards those who care and who follow the commandments He's given. That's significant. I love this. I don't know that this word is in the Bible anywhere else. A stingy man is eager to get rich and unaware that poverty awaits him. Stingy. Is the word stingy in the Bible anywhere else? I thought that was an American. They had stingy people 3,900, 2,900 years ago. And he just wants to take some. And he doesn't help other people. Scrooge McDuck or Mr. Scrooge. Mr. Scrooge? The Christmas... Stingy. He who rebukes a man... He who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than one who's flattering tongue. You got to know, when some people come up to you and talk, they are lying out their face. Oh, you're just the most talented and the wonderful person I ever met. And they say you're a good cook and this and that and the other. And just brag about you, and you're thinking, no, it's not true. Somebody told me I was the best bell ringer in the church, and I knew I was second best. I just made that up. Got your attention, didn't I? Oh, because you thought you were, and therefore you didn't want me to be? See what I'm talking about? Jealousy right there. I don't know. Huh? A greedy man stirs up dissension, but he who trusts the Lord will prosper. Well, there you go. Me, my, I, those words get us in trouble a lot. I want, I need. I think I need really becomes I want in most people. If you trust God, you'll prosper. You may not have everything you want, but you'll have everything you need. He who trusts himself is a fool. He who trusts himself is a fool. You know what a carpenter's told? Measure twice and cut once. You ever heard that one?
Yeah.
Ladies, have you ever made a product, I mean food, and you mix, and you cook and say, oh, Peggy's going to laugh. That was a teaspoon of salt, not a tablespoon. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or a quarter cup of something, and said you used a half cup measure stick instead. We can be mistaken. Greedy man stirs up dissension. He who trusts the Lord will prosper. He who trusts himself is a fool. Check yourself out and make sure you try. But he who walks in wisdom will be kept safe. There's Solomon the wisdom man, so he's going to use his word. in the last two verses. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing. Now, it did not say a person who gives to the poor will not want things that they don't need or don't have or shouldn't have. But lack means something you need. Or does that song go, "All that I need is the air to breathe and to love you"? Maybe we just ask for too much. I've got to break them up. When the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding. When the wicked perish, the righteous thrive. Leave you with a thought. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Of course, that was said by Reagan. It did not happen under Reagan's realm. It happened under George Herbert Walker Bush. But you remember the events that went down that day when they told the guards to stand away and the people brought sledgehammers and pickaxes and eventually bulldozers started pushing down the Berlin Wall. And the wall fell and the people were thrilled because the tyranny of East Germany was gone. Well, when the wicked rise to power, the people go into hiding. They stayed away. But boy, when that wall was gone, people rushed back and forth and did great things. God will bless us. Any questions on these wise old sayings from Mr. Solomon? Thank you for the bird show. There you go.